So how many of you once in a way have eaten at Chipotle? Yes, some of us are probably fans of Chipotle, huh? It's not uncommon for me to grab a quick bite there myself. Recent news, though, has made me boycott Chipotle. And it's got nothing to do with the virus that they had in their food. Nearly 10,000 workers are suing Chipotle. They claim that the company made them work extra hours off the clock without paying them. It's called wage theft. It's alleged that Chipotle routinely requires hourly paid restaurant employees to punch out, but then they cannot leave till they're given permission to leave. Wage theft. Now, why begin a Sunday homily with a story about a labor-related lawsuit? I believe the reason is because the Bible and the church have something important to say about these things. I preached once at a mass about just wages and work and the dignity of work. And someone came to me and said, the church should stick to religion and not get involved in economics and politics. I come here to worship God. But I really think that this person has a misconception. The Bible has much to say about economics, about work, about just wages. It has much to say about creating a just society. Today's readings draw attention to a disciple's pursuit of justice, especially in their relationship with the world and material things and wealth. So I believe there are three things that today's scriptures are saying to us today about these things. First of all, let me begin by talking about God's relationship with the poor and God's relationship with those people who create an unjust society by oppressing the poor. What does God have to say about these two things? Today's psalm response, although we sang the Alleluia antiphon, today's psalm response actually says, praise the Lord who lifts the poor. Praise the Lord who lifts the poor. This is scripture's way of saying that God cares in a very special way for those who are poor, especially if they are oppressed, if they are victims of injustice. The greatest event in the Old Testament is about a God who intervenes on behalf of slaves against a very oppressive Pharaoh. God lifted up the poor. It is in this spirit that today's gospel acclamation says, though our Lord Jesus Christ was rich, he became poor so that by his poverty you might become rich. In other words, God responded to our poverty by becoming one of us, by coming to us. It is not God's will that people should suffer because of poverty. God did not create poverty. God created human beings to be content and happy. And when that purpose is not fulfilled, God takes a stand in favor of the poor. So hear the words of Amos in today's first reading. This is what God says. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. God says, never will I forget a thing they have done. God takes a stand against injustice. In other words, if in fact Chipotle has wronged their workers, God is on the side of those who have been wronged. The Bible and the church are on the side of the poor. Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor. Secondly, the New Testament particularly defines human relationship with the material world in the word steward. Stewardship. Stewardship is radically different than ownership. These are different, radically different approaches. Ownership means that I have absolute right over that which I consider mine. I have absolute right. But that's not the word New Testament uses. New Testament uses the word stewardship. Stewardship says that what we have is in fact a gift. It's not ours. It's a gift. A spirituality of stewardship invites us to manage our material resources and our relationships in a way that God intends for them to be managed. So God has given us resources, God has given us gifts, and we have to ask ourselves the question, what does God want me to do with this? In this sense, the earth is a gift. We do not own it, but must manage it as good stewards. The people in our lives, including our family, are gifts from God. The material things like our house, our automobiles, the credit cards, the savings we have, as stewards, we are called to manage them not according to our own whims and fancies, but according to how God would want us to use them. See, but the problem is that, especially socially, there are two things we don't talk about, right? Our sexuality and our finances. These are very private things. We don't talk about these things. And so that spills into our relationship with God as well. Our finances, it's ours. It's not easy to let God in there. We rarely think of our relationship with wealth as a spirituality. We rarely think of ourselves as stewards. We think of ourselves as owners. To act as owners instead of stewards is to play God. Only God owns the world. The parable of the dishonest steward tells us that we are accountable for the way in which we manage God's gifts to us. Stewards, not owners. And thirdly, who is a prudent steward? Because the parable in the gospel reading is about a prudent steward. The opposite of being owners of wealth and material things, the opposite of that is to be owned by it. Many people are slaves of wealth and material things. That is why Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. Unfortunately, wealth, or money, is a very powerful force, very powerful force. Greed and addiction to wealth has put perpetrated many social evils in the world. Think about slavery. What was that about? Colonialism, human trafficking, the banking crisis of 2008. There is a heroin epidemic in Dayton. What is that about? Modern day sweatshops, loan sharks. These are all the result of human slavery to mammon. In the parable of the good steward, the master commends the dishonest steward for his prudence. Basically, the master is telling him that this dishonest steward, he was good at dishonesty. You got to be good at what you do. And the moral of the story is simply this. Just as the dishonest steward was good at his dishonesty, a Christian must be good at what is entrusted to him or her. A disciple has to be good at discipleship. You got to be good at what you're supposed to be good at. How can you do that? How can we do that? So I'm just going to read some questions that I wrote down for myself and see the answers to these questions help you to evaluate your own relationship with material things. How much say does God have in the way we manage wealth and material things? How much voice does God have in the way you manage your resources? Secondly, do we have a spirituality for how we relate to things? How concerned are we about creating a just society, promoting just wages, or about the needs of the poor? Do we control mammon, or does mammon control us? Do we indeed consider the people and things in our life as gifts? Just a few questions that I ask myself. Think about these questions, because surely God invites us to be good, prudent stewards. As a disciple, that is also our calling. As we come to celebrate this Eucharist, we will be bringing bread and wine and offering it on the altar. And the church teaches us that this bread and wine represents all of creation. Everything that we have, our labor and our leisure, everything is represented in just that bread and wine. And we pray that that gift that is given to us, God may accept it. It is not ours. God has given us the bread and wine. And what God has given us as gifts, we offer it back to God. May our lives and everything that we have, may we offer it back to God as a gift. People of God said, Amen.